With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at HoopheadsPod.com. Episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to sports right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Lakerholics.com. The great folks at LakersBall.com, and of course, the Hoopheads Podcast Network, where they have a ton of great NBA shows, because we're now talking NBA games once again. It is sincerely appreciated. The Lakers, with drama and tension, even on an off week where everybody should be vacationing, still is abound with tension growing seemingly every single day between LeBron James and the front office and Clutch Sports, where supposedly ESPN got sources saying that the head of Clutch Sports, Rich Paul, had to go ahead and speak to the Lakers front office and Jeannie Buss herself about the problems they're in. And we'll see what happens there. But there are now definitely, I feel, some problems right now in Lakerland when it comes to the tension between LeBron James, the inactivity at the trade deadline, and Rob Pelinka going forward. But the Lakers start their post-All-Star game stretch, the last 23 some odd games, with a tilt against the cross rival Clippers. And unfortunately, after a nip and tuck battle where the Lakers really went down and looked terrible in the second quarter, looked great in the third quarter, and in the fourth quarter faded to the point where, after many just poor executed plays down the stretch, unfortunately could not keep a small lead that they had heading into the fourth quarter and at the early part of the fourth quarter. And even with a newly installed Austin Reeves in the starting lineup, could not overcome the Los Angeles Clippers, and they end up losing in a very close nip and tuck battle, 105-102, in a highly controversial game because the last seemingly 2 minutes of the game took over a half hour to complete because of replays and reviews and calls that just probably weren't going our way anyways. But you know what? It should have. But again, we've had this issue all year long. But here today to talk about the game and the ongoing trouble of the organization that they're having are two great guests indeed. First up, I'm going to go ahead and start off with the man himself. He is the mastermind behind Lakerholics.com. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, I'm sorry. We're going to go ahead and say, first off, we have to delay the show because we're going to go ahead and look at a review. So just want to let you know, we're going to go ahead with a controversial call that maybe Joe Soro just made right now. So go ahead to the sidelines right now. So let's wait 10 to 15 minutes so we can go ahead and start again. But all that aside, the Lakers, even with all the controversial calls that they didn't get, they just didn't execute down the stretch. So you know what? Unfortunately, it's a thing of same old for this time of the season.
There's no way you can say it was unexpected.
Yes.
And in a close game, you know, the Clippers players basically seem to come through better than our players do. They had a hot first half, and we got behind again. And it's an uphill battle when you get behind like that. And even when you finally get ahead and you have a six-point lead, a couple of tough drives to the paint by LeBron, a couple of turnovers by LeBron, little bit of father time showing on LeBron in those last few minutes.
Which shouldn't have happened, quite frankly, after an all-star break, you know, at least 5 days off. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like everything else in the league, it's matchups. You know, the Clippers are a tough matchup for us. Even without their two stars, they're still a tough matchup. Reggie Jackson has taken that opportunity and is really playing terrific. I thought it's interesting because one of the sub stories of the night was how they all bragged last time about being able to pick on Austin Reeves on defense, that they were targeting him the whole game, and they targeted him this whole game too. And he had a couple of stunning plays that were just terrific defense. He had two blocks that were just spectacular blocks. And so he's coming along and playing well. This was one of those games that was just the same team, you know, we're two players short of being two players short, you know? So it'll be interesting to see if we can do anything else in the games going forward, because this was one of the games you needed to win. We were tied in the loss column with the Clippers at 31, and now they're one game ahead of us. We have them in a few more days, so hopefully we can play better that game. I thought Dwight played a great first half, you know.
He had the 9 rebounds in the first quarter.
Yep. We didn't go to him much in the second half that I can recall. And it's kind of interesting that because we also had Zubac in foul trouble. So I got to go back and look at the game lineups and see how that really worked out. Man, Luke Kennard, I have to admit, that man has shown me that I made a bad judgment when I didn't think he was worth the trade that the Clippers got him, because at least against the Lakers, that guy is just lights out. This will probably be Frank Vogel's last swoon if the team can't do any better than this the rest of the way, one way or another. And we'll see what happens. At least we had a nice meeting between Rich Paul and LeBron James and Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss.
Jeannie Buss, yep.
Interesting that one thing that wasn't at that meeting were any of the Rambi. You know, they didn't, neither Linda nor Kurt were at the attendance of the meeting. That's a good sign in my mind. And then all of these things they listed that were in total agreement now with the team and the agency and so forth, that they're going to go out aggressively for this summer to really upgrade the team and et cetera, et cetera. There was nothing said about the coaching staff at all, either in any of the comments or things. So there's a couple of things to read into that situation. I think it's a good thing because I think that the Lakers have made their bed with LeBron James. There's still a couple of years of potential championship value in there. And we've done a terrible job of taking advantage of that part of it. And LeBron and Rich Paul agreed to it. Was the decision that they pushed on the team about Russ Westbrook. So it's just one of those situations where they've got to now find a way to get out of it. And unfortunately, they won't have Anthony Davis for a good portion of that time that they'll have to figure this whole thing out. So it's going to be a difficult route. And the obvious scapegoat will be the coach. And there were times in the fourth quarter of the night when I just said, you know, what kind of offense are we running, you know?
A lot of isolation, again, lack of movement. I know Jefferson, actually, from ESPN, he pointed that out. So I think that was a very astute observation that the Lakers don't run a lot of motion, which I think is to their detriment, because when they do, they seem to find little nooks and crannies in the defense.
Well, we'll run it for like 5 or 6 minutes beautifully with LeBron at the center position. Mm-hmm. And with
and then they go away from
great
it.
Great moving and great cutting and movement, and yet we'll go into these stale periods of old school basketball where it's just ISO basketball, you know, and it just uses up so much of the clock. And
well, you saw it here today, especially in that last minute.
It makes it easy to defend the other team, you know, because you just think of all of the times you've ever played basketball, the player that nobody wants to guard is that fool that never stops running. You know, it's that guy that's just always in motion. That's the guy you don't want to guard because he'll just wear you out at the other end of the court.
Well, you saw it in the last minute because, again, there were several times, in fact, leading to a poor shot from Carmelo Anthony and also a poor shot from LeBron James. And, again, the execution down the stretch, like you said, that's something I think the coaches can help with to negotiate better plays to get this offense going more fluently at the most important times of the game.
Well, when you're a superstar driven, you have to find those moments in the game, because so much of the game is a read and react game. And especially when it's played in the full court version that we're seeing being played today, you can have 5 or 6 possessions in a row where you don't have a chance to even call a player slow down action, because you're just firing away. And it's great when it's your team that's doing it, but it's horrible when the other team is the team that's doing it to you. And the Lakers, there were several times, you know, I've always talked about this, the points to break a game open. We had a 6-point lead for so many opportunities where we missed opportunities to break that to an 8 or a 9-point lead.
I remember distinctly THT having a chance to go ahead and put, like you said, the Lakers to an 8 to 10-point lead. And unfortunately he failed. And on the other end, they give up a 3. So
those are always 5 or 6-point turnarounds, Gerald. They always are, you know.
Absolutely.
So any rate, at this point in season, the only thing we can say is, hey, it's only one game.
Well, that's what we've been saying. Oh, that's actually the theme for our season, I think. You've been saying that since the first game. It's only one game, but that's now all adding up to a season.
It's amazing how you can apply that statement to almost anything you want.
Yes, well, it's now adding up to a season we probably soon will forget.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse. So you had watched The Tomorrow War before The Matrix?
Yes.
If you forced me down, I was tied into a chair and I had to watch one thing, I would say The Matrix Resurrections.
Really? Funny.
Yeah, because of all the cutscenes, I could remember what a good movie was like.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yes, that's the only reason for the flashbacks, to remind you what a good Matrix movie was. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. But also here today is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today as Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. It is Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you back again. We're having a week off. We gave you a week off of the stress. Obviously, the tension's still there in the Lakerland with LeBron and all that going on with Clutch Sports and the ownership and the management, all that going on. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. We got to go ahead and go to the review center again, because we've got another controversial call that this time Laker Tom did. So, you know, we got to go back for another 15 minutes this time around. What a waste as far as it's concerned. Make the decision. Make it soon. Make it quick. Keep it flowing. That's what I tell the NBA. They got to do something about that. But that aside, of course, the Lakers didn't get the majority of those calls there either. But still, when it comes down to it in the last minute, the poor execution is what cost them dearly.
I don't want to sound redundant. You guys have touched on all the main topics in terms of...
That's okay. We're here. We're vent session, my friend.
Well, I do have something to say that's going to be a little...
And I'm not a therapist where I charge by the hour. So it's good. It's good here.
I think I've said it in other shows enough. I've showed enough emotion on it. The Lakers are a broken team. They are fundamentally, I don't even know if an F grade would be even warranted. It's lower than an F. It's a G if that existed. their fundamentals are absolutely And I think the frustration is, you know, we're sitting here comparing the Lakers to the Clippers. I don't even know who half the players on the Clippers are. Okay. Now, I know who they are, but I don't know who they are. So the fact that I don't know, he's playing like Karl Malone. Is Marcus Morris now Karl Malone of our era? I mean, he doesn't miss from 15 feet. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say he only scored 10 points in the game, but still, I mean, with his presence and then Reggie Jackson, Terrence Mann, and then, of course, the bench totally outscored our bench, and that was a very unfortunate. You know, I mean, Carmelo Anthony at THT actually had solid games.
Monk had an off game.
Yeah, Monk had an off game, which is very disappointing. Again, it comes down to please start Monk. You need to start Monk to get him those kind of minutes, which will get him into a comfortable position.
You can't start everyone, Gerald. You need somebody off the bench.
And, well, I'm all for Russell Westbrook off the bench, my friend.
I'm all for Russell Westbrook never playing a game, and I think at this point
can you say Kemba Walker?
I don't. Okay, so we've been talking about the same subject for what, 3 months now, and it's gotten worse and worse. And you know, comparing the Lakers to the Clippers is it's just not accurate. You're talking about comparing
the Clippers without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard.
Now you have LeBron James, who all freaking week I kept hearing about him. Is he one or two? I'm so tired of hearing that stupid top two, top three discussion. Okay, LeBron James. You have LeBron James on your team. When he plays, you have Anthony Davis. You need to you're held to a different standard. And LeBron is in this game. He's playing well. That should be enough. If he's one of the greatest or the greatest, that the fundamentals should be there. Okay.
Well, he actually had a really bad game today. I mean, but that's the thing. The Lakers, even when he has a bad game like this, because he has had so many good games, which he doesn't get support on.
It's not the game. I don't know how to explain this.
He needs to get the kind of support, and now that's not there.
It's not about. I think we get intoxicated by the numbers. The era of the NBA right now is exactly like the NFL, in that a guy who gets 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists, that number used to mean something 15 years ago. It doesn't mean anything anymore now.
Well, he did shoot 6 of 18, 2 of 8 from 3, and had 6 turnovers. Yes, he had 21 points, but his streak is broken there for 25 games.
The stats in the NBA mean nothing. It's just like a 300-yard passer in the NFL right now. It doesn't mean anything anymore. It doesn't mean – you have Kirk Cousins in Minnesota who throws that every game, and they're 9-7 or 9-8 every year. The point is, there are certain veteran decision-making that is not happening with all-time greats who are playing well. Now, if they were Robert Parrish in 1996, yeah, I get that if he's not doing well. Or John Sally, which is not an all-time great, but John Sally, I remember in 2000, he looked like a zebra with three legs. He couldn't move on the court. Point is, there are certain things that are not getting done that should get done, because there's enough experience, there's enough skill set still there, and it's just not working. Now, the NBA product took a massive hit, at least for me. Watching those refs waste, I don't know, what was it, 20 minutes on decisions, just, I've been saying this for a while, especially on Lakers ball. I'm like, Adam Silver has to stop this. This is really killing the game.
The last 2 minutes took like over a half an hour in real time.
It needs to stop. I'm turning into the get off my lawn guy, but at the same time, I'm also sitting back going, there's validity here. It's really bad.
Laker Tom, we have Clint Eastwood and El Camino here.
Well, you mean El Torino?
El Torino? No, was it El Camino? I thought it was El Camino.
No, it's Gran Torino. Sorry.
Yeah. There you go. Right.
No, I don't want. Look, I embrace modern technology. I embrace a lot of things that happen now. But the NBA is absolutely just a crap product right now. I've watched enough basketball in my life to know that there is a problem here. Do people care? Are their TV contracts too big where it doesn't really matter? And I feel like a lot of times, I think the pandemic really showed that fans don't really matter anymore. Because if it did matter, this would be a problem and it would get fixed. But if this looks like the TV contracts and the advertisements and the gambling changed everything once it got embraced. And at that point, the owners don't care. They don't care about anything other than, okay, just make sure the game is being played. We get all the advertising money. We get all the gambling going. We got the TV contracts. If people don't show up to the games, who cares? And that's exactly what happened, right? During the pandemic, People didn't show up. They still made money. They still did their thing. Yeah, they said, oh, well, we lost some money here and there. I don't believe it. Bottom line is the product is trash. And again, I'm tired of being angry at stupid stuff. I don't know what to do.
Are we talking about the entire NBA product, Joe, or are we talking about
every?
He's talking about it.
The whole product.
Hard to separate as a Laker fan.
The whole product. The Lakers just really stink right now. Right. There is zero leadership. You have someone who's an agent doing meetings with the Laker owners on settling things down. Like, why is that even a discussion? If I'm an owner
it's a discussion to prevent a situation like happened with Kobe and Shaq, where we ended up making a decision,
or like Harden
owner to trade, recently. One of our two superstars.
I think that's apples and oranges. I think that the problem with Kobe and Shaq had nothing to do with management or a coach or any of that. It was simply ego of Kobe wanting to play as the main guy. And a lot
but
of
he
people
also, well, hold on. He was also upset with Shaq's habits as far as off
Shaq's
the court.
Coming, Shaq getting well on company time, getting in shape on company time.
Yeah, it's a whole combination of things. But yeah, I know that was one of the things.
It's not, again, guys, the products is really bad. I hardly watch non-Laker games. I used to watch a lot of basketball back in the day, and it's not I'm more financially settled now. I have more resources to get any footage, any TV, I have all that stuff now, so I can watch whatever I want. But I'm finding myself less and less interested because of this just product is this crap. It's just the offenses. Tom, you said something. I bet you we were thinking at the same time. The movement. I'm sitting there watching someone cut to the freaking hole. Cut to the basket.
We were all
someone. Where are you? So again, I know I'm not going crazy here. Again, I embrace modern things. I'm not the get off my lawn guy, but there's fundamentals that have been lost.
Well, a lot of it too is just the lineups on every team have been screwier than hell this year. It's just been COVID, the combination between COVID and what seems to be an abnormal amount number of star players.
You know what really bothers me? I remember after we won the title.
It's the dilution of hold on a second, Joe. It's the dilution of the team by the freedom of movement of the players. And Harden just 2 out of 3 years basically being a bad enough teammate that they finally traded.
It all depends on the roster that you have, though. I know,
it's not like when I was a kid and a Yankee fan, I could memorize the lineup and it was good for 5 or 6 years.
Well, let me just say this, guys. I mean, we have a regular viewer that Felix. He stops and he comments about how he thinks the Lakers play a lot more closer to the Golden State Warriors. I disagree. When I see the Warriors, I see a lot of motion offense, everything they can to go ahead and get either Curry, Thompson, or Poole off and around screens, having them run around in order to go ahead and get open baskets right there for a three, or cutting inside with Porter or any, let's say, Payton Jr. He gets a lot of dunks off their movement. The thing is, if you have an offense that creates movement, that creates more opportunities. But again, if you have these players like Harden, LeBron, and you have these guys that just isolate the ball and they dribble the ball for 20 seconds, that's really hard to go ahead and create an offense.
You love that as a defender.
Yeah.
Guarding a guy who
makes it easier.
20 seconds.
I'm going to go back to telling you the difference between the true greats to me. Again, my definition of great is very different than I think 99% of the population, especially nowadays with all the people being elected into the Hall of Fame in the NFL and the NBA. It's just like, what? How the hell did they get in the? And the thing is that it's become a popularity contest. And then when you factor in the James Hardens and the LeBron James and their games and why veterans that have been in the league 12, 13, 19 years, why they're not doing the simple thing. So then, again, I'm going to revert back to watching The Last Dance. And I have to use this as a reference because there was a moment when Phil Jackson took over for Doug Collins that – he had to convince Michael Jordan that he needs to pass the freaking ball. And what changed when he did that? Well, he didn't have to worry about the triple teams and the double teams, and the offense ran a certain way where it created that opportunity. We don't have any of that anymore. Now it's James Harden doesn't get what he wants. He wants to get traded, and he gets it's obliged at that point. And you're sitting there going, you're teaching kids, you're teaching society, you're teaching everyone that, hey, when you feel uncomfortable, just quit until you go where you want to go. And
if you're good enough, if you're one of the top five players, you could probably pull it.
Well, I'm sorry. I've never considered.
You know, James, I mean,
I'll say LeBron.
You're
LeBron
the choir, Joe, because I don't disagree with any of the stuff you're saying. The lack of fundamentals.
I'll give the
quality of play in the league right now at this point in time, the last 2 or 3 years, the last 3 years with COVID, has really been subpar. And it's been a battle for what is the worst. Are these three COVID years going to be the three most difficult or the three easiest championships that anybody's ever won?
There's some truth to that, but I did see something. I did see something in that finals, or even in that run a little bit that the Lakers had, where I saw a team, because I said this years before COVID and all that, I said, with all the three-point happy type stuff that's going on, I said the coach or the team that stifles that philosophy is gonna once that team comes, then that issue is gonna go away a little bit. And Anthony Davis's performance in that run gave me hope, especially in the last game, that guys, if you play defense like this, you're going to bring back a little bit of the old school way of playing basketball. Old school.
It wasn't just defense, too. They both shot lights out, LeBron and AD. You know, here's the thing that's sort of been bothering me all night long. I'm trying to find the answer to it, which is that why would a team with even with the injuries, you know, and even with the COVID situation and so forth, and having their two of their stars, LeBron and AD, miss significant time with multiple injuries. Even with all of those things happening, and even when you look back at last year, is it the coaching? Is it, you know, it's really starting to strike me that watching at the end of the game, just the lack of preparation that the team was totally rely upon LeBron creating.
Well, that first, let me
and,
point
and
out
also that. The simple fact of the statistics that this year's team, we've always won the LeBron minutes up until this year. And
I have an answer.
Let me answer my own question first, Joe, and then I'll give you the floor. I do think it is partly the coaching. Part of it may be that Frank's not a rah-rah motivator. You know, he's sort of the guy who keeps everybody.
Well, let me just say this, Tom, because I think it comes down to, like, for instance, in the last few seconds in regards to the replays that we talked about, the first major replay where it was in question in regards to LeBron and Covington.
Yeah, I would have the ball inbounds as fast as I could.
Exactly. And that's what you're taught. And they didn't. So
like
Tyronn Lue,
just like snapping the ball in football, you know.
Yeah, that Tyronn Lue was able to go ahead and call that and get that call simply because they didn't react fast enough, and the coaches did.
But that's not why I'd hire or fire a coach. The way the team played.
No, but it's just little things.
The way the team played in the
lineup changes.
5 minutes with a 5-point lead and 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, the execution down the stretch. Yeah, it's a combination. It's a myriad of things. I understand, and I agree with you on that. So I think it's something they now have to look at. Seriously.
Frank cannot make Russell Westbrook make a layup or LeBron make a layup or not throw the ball to Melo and then Melo decides to shoot from 30 feet. This is the stuff that's been going on. It's obvious they've tuned him out to some degree, right? Isn't that what it is? And why is Ty Lue succeeding with this particular group without Paul George, and
why are they able to stay afloat?
I'll tell you why. Because they're young players. They're young. They're hungry. They're trying to prove themselves. They don't have any room to be divas. So, of course, they're going to listen to instructions. They're going to listen.
Not all of them.
But well, not all of them.
I think it's even simpler majority, than that. I think look, it's, when I you think look it's at, because I think it's
well, that, because that, that Joe finished
and it's okay, they were, it's actually okay. Have more talent. I mean, we don't have a guy. I guess Monk is Reggie Jackson is our or is Monk our version of Reggie Jackson, and Terrence Mann. He's those guys have been playing.
I think we have enough youthful talent on the team, and yeah. They've shown enough on there that they're capable. The issue is, it's very hard to be, and it's getting. It seems like it's gotten even worse. It was already bad before, but it's gotten really really bad to where. NBA coaching is just not respected. It's just not. Sam Mitchell, I hear him a lot.
They pay him, you know, a tenth of what they pay the players. So,
how is Frank Vogel, who makes what $5 million a year, how is he going to tell a $44 million guy to, hey, you need to pay attention?
And you know the history of the most vulnerable and the logical scapegoat for this whole situation. And I'm actually one who's been a big Frank Vogel supporter. I loved how he made his adjustments. I always root as a fan first for what I'd like to see right now. But having spent a lifetime coaching kids, I understand how important it is to have solidity and regularity and everybody having a role that they know what the role is, even if they may not be happy with it at the moment. So I've always supported people having problems, players having problems, more as a coach than I do as a fan. But Frank still makes like a reason is a total surprise to me to start, you know, and it's not only the inability to make the simple, easy solution. I mean, my God, Twitter has predicted what he should do in about the cases of four or five people from Andre Drummond to DeAndre Jordan and on, you know, I mean, it's like a joke. It's embarrassing as a Lakers fan, you know, when you talk to fans of other teams and they ask about, well, why is he, you know, why is he playing Avery Bradley? And, you know, slowly but surely, you know, he's finally seeming to come around it. But that part of it, you could deal with it because he at times has had the team play great defense. Like you were saying, Joe, during the bubble in the finals, I mean, man, we were unstoppable.
But they were playing
guys,
well.
We had two guys hungry and begging to guard the other team's best player, and they were LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
They don't get enough credit also before the bubble, okay? Right. They started out, they were beating the teams.
No parade. We got no parade out of the whole thing, man.
Guys, I've been to two parades. Believe me, you're not missing anything.
No, don't go into the parade thing. We went on that for last week.
Yeah, it's a completely overrated experience. That year, I remember it was the first week. I said AD is going to win Defensive Player of the Year that year, and he got robbed of that award that year. Now during that year, they were beating every team they were supposed to beat. They were losing to the really good teams, right? Then it shifted in like February, March. They ended up beating the Clippers the last two games, and they ended up beating Milwaukee. So there was this.
Then we got robbed, man, for 4.5 months. Although it was a blessing in disguise.
Well, but and then they got the rest that they needed. They did come back, and they struggled initially during the regular season, quote unquote, part of the bubble.
Those games didn't count because
they worked on enough things that they.
Yeah, it didn't look like they cared those eight games. There's a difference between knowing if they're playing bad and really not giving a flying F.
But they were already proved earlier in the season before the 4.5 month layoff that they could turn it on and dominate. You know, and dominate the best competition that they had.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't totally a surprise at all that they all of a sudden in the playoffs started playing just like they did that last weekend before the league suspended play. We haven't seen that from this team this year.
We're going to have to run this back one more year at least, right? I mean,
yeah, but it won't be with, we'll have a half a dozen of the same guys.
So here's my question to you.
There'll be a lot of new guys here. There'll be new starters. Three new starters, I'll tell you that.
Let's talk shop here, Laker Tom and Gerald Glassford. What coach do you bring in that will keep the attention at an all-time high with Mr. LeBron James, Mr. talking about future stuff like he always does out of nowhere? And
well, they're not
are you going to be able to build?
In. They're not going to bring a coach in that LeBron doesn't approve of.
So you're going to bring a coach in that LeBron approves of when he's only going to be here another year? What about AD?
LeBron has to before August 4th. He has until August 4th to agree to a 2-year extension.
Okay.
If he doesn't agree to a 2-year extension, then I think there's a good chance the Lakers would trade him. Because even a team like the Cavaliers, they get him a year early, and there's word that the Cavaliers aren't interested. But it's
why the heck would Dan Gilbert bring LeBron back for what? His team is rocking and rolling now.
He's always hated LeBron in a certain sense.
So. Yeah, and I don't blame him because I'm starting to turn into Dan Gilbert myself.
But it's depressing the market. There's still everybody's worried about Cleveland being able to sign him as a free agent because they can clear enough space easily so they have the cap space to do that.
But they're going to have to draft his son, right?
Yeah. This would all happen this summer.
He's 25 to 50 right now, depending on who you look at. Palenka and Buss have agreed
they're going to use the picks and they're going to take on contracts and so that they can get rid of Russ and they're going to upgrade the team so that LeBron can win next year. LeBron will sign the extension.
And AD play though. I think that's really the main problem here. LeBron is LeBron as much as he irritates the heck out of me, whatever. At least he shows up and plays and his injuries are usually some kind of freak thing, right? He's usually there. But with AD, if AD's not playing 70 games a year and in the entire playoffs, what's the point?
Where could he be a one championship center?
Yeah. You know? Well, I think he's turning into Ralph Sampson is what he's turning into.
But, you know, I've seen signs of defense from him this year, Joe, that were really impressive. And
100% agree.
It's why I still think it's a problem with the coach, you know, and even though he may have been the right coach in the bubble with that group of guys, there's just something about he can't seem to put the right combinations together or push the right buttons to get these guys to play the way that they should with a sense of urgency when the season is going down the drain at rapid pace.
Who do we bring in though? Who do you bring in?
That's a tough question, you know.
Well, I don't think everything will clear up on that end until all the season is done. Yeah. And then maybe some coaches will either decide to go or leave, have parting the ways that maybe LeBron would be interested in. So
I could see the Lakers firing. If the Lakers lose 4 or 5 in a row right now, it's very likely that they could just fire him just to start the coaching search now rather than having – Because what they don't want to do is to enter free agency and trade periods without knowing who the coach is and without having to spend time worrying about who they're going to hire to be the head coach and so forth. So there's something to be said about being able to freely go around and talk to people right now, you know, who might be candidates for the job. And there's not much to be gained by everybody knows Vogel's going to be replaced this summer by somebody.
Absolutely. Well, again, who might be doing that? We don't know as of yet. I'm expecting or hoping, anyways, I'm hoping that there'll be an organizational shakeup from the top down because this whole organization needs it.
Yeah. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
The Lakers, they were leading in the fourth quarter, but poor execution down the stretch and a couple controversial calls later, and they end up losing 105 to 102. LeBron James struggled today with 21 points on 6 of 18 shooting and 6 turnovers, but good performance by Dwight Howard. Did want to mention him. We did mention him earlier in the show. 14 points, 16 rebounds, 3 block shots. Do want to mention Carmelo Anthony and Talen Horton Tucker off the bench, 18 and 16 points respectively. Austin Reeves did get his first start, only 6 points, but still provided some key defense down the stretch that kept them in the game. But 7 players in double figures for the Clippers, and that tells me right there that they were playing more as a team than the Lakers were down the stretch when they needed to get it done, and they did get it done. Right now, the Lakers are 27 and 32, still 9th place in the Western Conference. Now a full 2.5 games behind the Clippers right now in 9th place and 2.5 games ahead of Portland in 10th place right there for you. So we'll see what happens, but New Orleans comes into town on Sunday. That's another team that needs to reevaluate whether or not they want to keep Zion long-term if Zion's health is going to be a continual issue like Anthony Davis is going forward. So we'll see what happens there. But New Orleans comes in on Sunday. That's a 7 p.m. game, not the 6:30 game or 6 p.m. games that they usually have on Sundays. So it's a little bit later for everyone out there. So just want to make sure everyone knows that. But we'll be back for then. I do also want to mention that for everybody out there on YouTube, next week, and also as well for all of our audio listeners on podcast outlets, I will be having an interview that I'm going to drop for you with award-winning author Jeff Perlman that I've already done. He wrote the book Showtime and also as well Three Ring Circus. But the book Showtime is one of his older books on the 80s dynasty, the Los Angeles Lakers, is now the reason why we have HBO Max's Winning Time coming on March the 6th. So looking forward to going ahead and showcasing that interview I have with him next week. And I'll go ahead and update you next week on what day that will exactly drop. But it is award-winning author Jeff Perlman talking about Winning Time, the whole series. He's actually already seen the series. He tells you his preferences, some of the things that happened, and how his life changed a little bit as far as what's gone on with Winning Time. So he'll talk about that and just some great subjects. I had a chance to sit down with him, so I will be playing that next week. But also as well, I want to make mention that Laker Tom has some great articles up right now at LakerHolics.com. Please go ahead and be part of the conversation there. I know Jamie Sweet, who was too frustrated at points of time during the broadcast today of the Lakers game, was very frustrated. So I think the reason why he's not here tonight because he was just very angry about what's going on. So I don't think he would have had a good temperament coming in here. I told him it'd be great radio, but he didn't seem to want to go ahead and maybe divulge too much on the air. But I'll tell you what, guys, it's great having you here. Also, follow Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. They have a real game time chat session there each and every game that you got to be a part of. It's great indeed. I see Ox1947. He's always got the punches there for you right now. And he's great when it comes to LakersBall.com. But guys, before we head on out, I do want to mention as well, again, the fact that we're going to be here on Sunday night for the post game between New Orleans and the Los Angeles Lakers. Laker Tom, what you got cooking up at LakerHolics.com?
Well, we've been talking a lot about
A lot of drinking.
Yeah.
Something definitely. Like that.
It's about the size of it. I mean, it's such easy pickings when you're the Lakers and you have something happening like LeBron making his comments that he was making while he was in Cleveland. By the end of the week, it got to a point where Rich Paul and LeBron felt like they had to sit down with Jeannie and Rob and make sure that everybody understood, you know, that we're all on the same goal and that LeBron was going to stay in Los Angeles long term and he was not looking to move anywhere. We were not looking to change ownership. Change management of the team. We're happy with what Rob is doing and so forth, and we're working together and we're definitely going to make a
I'm
big,
glad someone
push.
Is happy with his performance because Pardon? Not I said I'm glad someone is happy with his performance
well,
because I'm not.
You know, the last thing that they want to do is to shake the boat up to have the Lakers bring somebody in who they know they can't work with. They've worked well with Rob so far. and it's been successful. They won a championship. For a lot of franchises, that would be satisfactory.
Yes, but we now live in a "what have you done for me lately" society.
2 years in a row, but the last thing they want to do is to upset. LeBron has 1 year to go. He doesn't want to waste that year not having a team that's going to be competitive. That's what this whole thing has been about, that he wanted to put the Lakers on notice that, you know, if you want me to be loyal, you gotta sign up now. You gotta trade draft picks. You gotta bring back contracts.
We don't have draft picks anymore.
You know, you've gotta be willing to pay luxury taxes. You gotta do whatever you have to do and spend lavishly to win a championship. Especially when you have me on your team. And
what do they do with that $700 million that they got for crypto?
He's right. You know, the Lakers haven't been willing to do that. They haven't been willing to take contracts back. We could have signed.
Well, the Lakers didn't get that, Joe,
for a third year, but they wouldn't take a 3-year contract. And they've been cheap. That's why we lost Caruso.
And you notice it doesn't say crypto across the top of the building. I noticed that. The Staples.
It's so frustrating because they've historically been cheap on not matching what other teams spend on training facilities for the team and so forth. They've always, you know, they've never spent a lot of money on overseas coaches. They've never overseas scouts and so forth. They didn't really replace a whole lot of the coaching that we lost last year. They promoted guys that were very cheaply paid because, you know, and we don't really know how much success the buses are. I mean, because if Genie ever gives up power, it's going to be to Jesse or Joey. You know, it's not going to be to some outside company that they
sell
to.
The team.
To who, though?
Whoever wants to pay enough money to go ahead, $6-7 billion.
Yeah, but
you've
got to be willing to sell.
You're going to need to get lucky on
this. This is not Heaven Can Wait. You know, it's not a movie where they get offered so much money that they'll turn it down.
You need to get lucky and find a Ballmer or a Paul Allen or something, someone who's really entrenched.
There are those that are out there right there. But you know what? I'll just say this. Again, this organization from the top down needs a cleansing. I cannot say enough.
It's not going to happen.
The rock the boat, the shake the boat.
It's not going
to
happen.
They need to do it now. They need to do it sooner rather than later. Well, if it probably won't happen, but it should happen nonetheless.
It's not. But the problem is it's a family business, and they're still listening to Magic Johnson. You know,
you
on
just
what
gotta
to
take
do.
The money and run. You just got to take the money and run. But you got to go ahead and check out his article today. What can the Lakers do to convince LeBron James to extend his contract? Joe Sorrell. Want to make sure that we get in what you're doing at LakersBall.com. I mean, there you guys have great conversations there. Laker Tom is obviously a great part of LakerHolics.com, and he's very attentive. I wish
I'm combative.
The problem is, I can't tease him about not checking out the description on my great interview with Stone Hansen the other day on the Lakers and the NBA draft, because the fact is, I might guest on the Pop Culture Cosmos show. One of them, hey, am I on this week? I said, of course you are. You're in the description for the podcast. So nobody reads descriptions for the podcast anymore. They just read the titles. It's crazy. It's not so crazy.
It's the life of Lakers ball game time is sometimes combative. Tonight was.
I've noticed that.
We have a couple of. I hope they're listening. A couple of yahoos that chime in every now and then, that like to talk some smack. And the mods have to kind of go, take it easy, guys. And I have to hold back. I hold back a lot during the day, whether it's on Lakers Fast Break, whether it's on Lakers Ball Game Time, whether it's Lakers Ball Discussions. My whole life is about holding back, because what I really want to do is unleash every minute of the day, because it makes me feel good. It sets the mood of the room virtually, literally, and within the, let's say, the real life world too. So I have to kind of scale back, let people breathe a little bit. They're not used to that kind of confrontation. My body's wired for it. I think had I didn't care about people and ripping them off, I probably would have been good in New York being a runner at the stock exchange or a stockbroker. So when you put all that together and you go to the Lakers site, that all plays a part, like mentally, how I conduct things. one little comment will set a blaze. One comment will start a fire.
Really, I never thought that would have happened.
And again, you've got a taste of it pretty much.
Oh yeah, I have.
Was it the third show?
Yes, the third
and
show.
I'm not gonna lie, it took a lot of energy to not really say what I wanted to say.
Yeah, okay.
And I did it. And again, this is something I've gotten used to in my life because my wife has to, you know, she has to feel the brunt of things sometimes, and I scale back for her sake, for my kids' sake. My friends don't invite me to certain places, rightfully so, because they know the room might end up changing when I get there. And a lot of times I won't even have to say a word. A lot of times I'll walk into a room and there's this, I always called it a chaperone type feeling. There's, oh shoot, this guy just came in. I don't know who the hell it is. He looks like a guy that's, you know, I could never think of a word except chaperone. What happens when the
PR
real teacher,
spokesperson, maybe?
Well, what happens when the real teacher comes in after you've been
damage,
you know,
control?
No, nothing like that. It's just people are uncomfortable with a 6'3", 270-pound man with a deep voice coming in looking like he's angry. I could be thinking about flowers at that moment, but they think I'm angry. Now, here's a great story that I'm going to tell you real quick before we head out.
Like a praying mantis.
I was at my buddy's house, big Laker fan. We're a Laker fan. We're watching the Utah series. This is back in like 2009, I think, 2008, 2009. And I'm a firecracker. You know, there might be a play or something where I'm like, gah! And then I'm done. Like, there's no residual from it. It's just a reaction. Well, my buddy has a leather couch at his house. And my hand, when I don't remember if it was Gasol missed a layup. I don't know what it was, something like that. But I slapped the couch, and it was loud. And, of course, I made a sound like, damn it, you know. And I remember later that night, my buddy telling me, dude, you completely shut the entire house down after that. And I didn't even pay attention to it. So it was at that moment I realized there's things that happen when I do things that people will interpret in the complete opposite direction. So I have to be attentive to it and understand it because I don't want to make my friends and colleagues and my family uncomfortable. You know, I care about them. So I've been able to manage that. And then I kind of get it out when I go on the Lakers talk. I could talk to a lot of them are strangers. I've never seen them before and I don't really care. So if they get insulted, I don't care. You know, what are you going to do? And I've had discussions. Remember that guy that said, come meet me in Temecula? Remember they wanted to fight? Okay, well, the irony in that, or the coincidence there is I live in Temecula. So anytime I get into something that's a little bit more kind of serious, I'm like, hey, man, I'm in Temecula. Come meet me in Temecula.
So we have fun with it.
But I will tell you this, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. The only reason why I haven't unleashed is because there are other people responsible like you, like Tom. But there will be a time if I'm doing something public and I don't have any,
buffers.
Yeah, I might end up saying something that's controversial. And that's just the way I've lived my life.
Fair enough, indeed. But you can also hear him today and also some of the things that he says during the course of the game at LakersBall.com. Be part of the conversation at both LakersBall.com and, of course, LakerHolics.com, where Laker Tom writes some great articles. He responds to your comments there. He responds to mine really good. So, but also as well, Jamie Sweet's there doing his five things. Hopefully Jamie is actually calmed down because he was upset earlier. So I'm hoping he's pretty calm. Plus, I hope to get on Sean Grice and Jamie Sweet back here in the not-too-distant future. I know L. Rob is also a very upset man because he was at the game today against the Clippers.
He guaranteed we were going to win.
Yeah, he did. So I'm hoping he'll come back on the show pretty soon so we can go ahead.
Was it Charles Barkley?
He was, you know, L. Rob, a good man. He flew from Detroit to L.A. to go ahead and catch the game and unfortunately, you know, they didn't get it done. But once again, the Lakers did end up losing to the Clippers, 105-102. We will be back on Sunday Just want to let you know once again, Sunday night for those on Facebook. Thank you so much for the people who followed us tonight and who just caught our show tonight and actually started following us because we're on the show tonight. So big shout out to Ferdinand and also Renard following us now on the Lakers Fast Break on Facebook. There's also as well, big shout out to the YouTube followers. And we're now over 100 strong, so thank you so much for watching us there. Love all the great comments that you provide there. And, of course, the hundreds and thousands of new listeners that we get each and every month right there at the Lakers Fast Break, wherever you get your podcasts. Well, guys, thank you so much again for being part of the show. We'll see you Sunday night around 9:30-ish Pacific time after the game against New Orleans. Of course, always right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.